Last week we talked about knowing God, and I thought we gotta get this sermon about knowing Jesus. See, people have so many different ideas of who Jesus Christ is. It's almost like it doesn't match the Jesus of the Bible with the Jesus that you hear about in these days. Today, a lot of times people think that Jesus Christ was just a great teacher. People will say, well, Jesus Christ, maybe you Google him and he appears in Google or Yahoo, and it's Jesus Christ was the founder of Christianity. And they might give you the definition for Christ. He was just a Jewish rabbi. You see, there are religious groups that their beliefs about Jesus do not match what you and I might believe about him. For instance, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael, the archangel, the one that talks about in the Old Testament. So Jesus is not really the Messiah. He's just an angel. So angels were created. So you see where this is going? I mean, sometimes you and I need to understand what really is it that we believe about Jesus, because you believe really should affect everything about you. So Jesus is a created being for some religious groups that you and I might be familiar with. The Mormons' view of Jesus is that, yeah, he is a God, but they also, in their theology, they believe that you and I can acquire God, we can become God in this life as well. They also believe, which is, I think, so odd, that Jesus Christ is the brother, spiritual brother of Satan. I mean, there's so many things about Jesus out there, and if you don't really know where to look, I mean, you follow this weird Jesus, and he's totally different from the one that we read about in the Bible. For Scientology, Jesus Christ is just somebody who taught us how to be spiritually advanced in life. For Islam, Jesus Christ is just a prophet, like Muhammad. And Danji, are you in the, you're going to help me out with the PowerPoint? Wake up, brother. Come on. So for Islam, Jesus Christ was just a prophet. You know, for a lot of times, for people, it's like, hey, he's a prophet because he taught people. You see, in our society also, Jesus Christ has become a curse word. You watch movies and people mentioning his name, but really his name has nothing to do with praising him. It's almost like they mention Jesus out of anger, out of like they're ticked, they're mad, and they mention Jesus Christ. And sometimes I was like, you go to church? It's just because his name has become that in our society. It's so sad. It's almost like you want to ask yourself, will the real Jesus please stand up? Because there's so many Jesus that you have no idea which one to find. I mean, this is Jesus doing this thing. There's a Jesus of Christianity. There's a Jesus of history. And they do not match. It's like, what in the world is going on? Was Jesus a lunatic because he thought that he was somebody else special and he wasn't? Was he really the Son of God? Was he really a liar then? Will the real Jesus please stand up? Sometimes, I mean, people probably, that's what they want to ask because they have no idea we have so many Jesus and you don't know. Then we go to our scripture. You see, even in Jesus' day, people have different opinions about him. People that met Jesus asked him, who are you? You see, people were in Jesus' day, they were confused about his true identity. The religious leaders in Jesus' day asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? Tell us. The Pharisees at one point told Jesus, don't keep us in suspense. We want to know really who you are. Tell us, are you the Son of God? I have had debates or, you know, conversation with people, and they always said to me that Jesus Christ never claimed to be the Son of God in the Bible. And I said, really? So if you read that text, when they asked him, are you the Son of God? If you keep on reading, he responded, says, yes, I am. So, and people would tell you that he never claimed. And then, Pilate, a Roman governor, you know, they brought, right at the trial of Jesus, they brought him to before the governor, and he asked, okay, are you the king of the Jews? You know what Jesus says? Yes, I was born to be a king. I mean, if you want to know who the man is, just ask him. He will tell you. And he told the people. But so many people in Jesus' day, they have different ideas about his true identity. Some people saw Jesus as a political leader, somebody who will come and kick the Romans out and give us back the land of Israel, Palestine. And people still fighting for that land, even to this day. It's all about politics now. You know, Israel right there, want to kick him out. But in those days, people thought, oh, the Jewish people expected a Messiah. But their Messiah, the idea of a Messiah, was a political leader, somebody like King David, somebody who would come and rise up to the power, create this army and say, let's now go to war against the Romans, and we're gonna establish this empire as the Jewish empire. So many of the apostles, Jesus had an apostle named Simon the Zealot. He hated Romans. And he was just like, well, Jesus, when are you going to do it? I mean, everybody was just like waiting for the moment when Jesus said, we're going to do it today. Remember, even at one time, the apostles told him, are you going to do it now? Are you going to finally give back the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time. But that's the idea, the mentality that they had in those days. And people wanted to know who the Jesus that everybody else was talking about. And finally, Jesus asked the apostles after 3 years, they've been hanging out, and Jesus being educating them and truly who he was. And he, by that time, he was still doing miracles. And people like, this man can do miracles. And he was healing and preaching. And the teaching was so amazing that people say he doesn't teach like the other rabbis. I mean, when he teaches, he has authority. And people got to see that about Jesus. But at one point, right towards the end of the ministry, the earthly ministry, Jesus gathered his apostles and said to them, okay, who do people say that I am? If Jesus were to say that to us today, I mean, we would tell him everything I already told you at the beginning. Yeah, some people think that you're just a prophet. Some people think that you're somebody who taught us how to be a spiritually advanced. Some people think that you're just like Muhammad. Some people think that you're just a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. So Jesus asked, 2,000 years ago, the apostles, who do people say the Son of Man is? And in Matthew 16, if you got your Bibles with you, Matthew 16, verse 13. That's a famous passage because later on, that's a confession of Peter. But Jesus asked, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Who do people say the Son of Man is? It's interesting. One of the titles of Jesus, according to Scripture, is the Son of Man. One of the things you learn about Jesus Christ is, yes, he was a human being. He was a man. But the Son of Man has more meat than just, oh, he's a man. The Son of Man goes deeper than that. He goes all the way to the Old Testament. This is Jesus' favorite title to talk about himself. He uses the expression the Son of Man appears 88 times in our New Testament. 88 times. But the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve the Son of Man. I mean, I thought you were the Son of God. The Son of Man did this. So he asked, who do people say the Son of Man is? And later on, when he said, who do people say that I am? So you see, the Son of Man is a title for Jesus Christ himself. Right there, you see it in the text. Where is this thing, the Son of Man, coming from? You go back to the prophet Daniel. Daniel had this vision. Daniel was one of those prophets that God revealed dreams and visions to him. And so he had this vision. He saw a Son of Man in one of his dreams. And I just want to get you into that text. It's Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. So he's not just like, he's not just a prophet or just a man. He's coming with the clouds of heaven. And then he says, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The Son of Man. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And you see, that gives us, my brothers and sisters, already the public opinion of the day in those days. When Jesus asked that question, this is what people believed about him. They believed that he was just a prophet. You see, because the names of those people that they mentioned, John the Baptist was the last prophet in the Old Testament. So who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples said, well, some people think that you are John the Baptist. Other people think that you might be Elijah. Other people think that you might be Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So people thought that Jesus Christ was a prophet. And then, okay, that's what people thinking, but I want to know what you think now. Now, let's be personal here. That's what people are believing about me, but what do you believe? Who do you say I am? I love that. So, you know, Jesus didn't care about what other people thinking about. You've been hanging out with me for 3 years. You better know who I am. You better get the answer right. Jesus said, who do you say I am? And of course, Peter cannot contain himself. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus applauded and said, blessed are you, Simon, because that has not been revealed to you by flesh, but by my Father in heaven. And then he said, and I say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. You have answered correctly, Simon. You got it. Who do you say I am? Jesus said, and Simon Peter, you are the Messiah. That's the word Christ means. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So, you see, the Son of Man is just, yes, he talks about his humanity, but you see, he goes deeper because Son of Man also talks about his deity. You see, he wasn't just a man. He was really God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. You see, all the power and authority that he had in his dominion when Daniel saw him in that vision. So Jesus' closest followers got it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, in other words, when Simon confessed and he's saying, you are the one that we have been expecting. You are the expected Messiah that Isaiah 53 talks about. That said he's going to be led like a sheep to the slaughter. And, you know, he did not open his mouth. You are that one that Isaiah 53 talks about. That, you know, by your wounds we will be healed. That's who you are, Jesus. You are blessed because my Father revealed that to you, Jesus said. So Jesus Christ, you and I need to understand that, yes, he was a man, but Jesus Christ is God. You're going to have religious groups that would totally disagree with us on that. They would not believe that Jesus Christ is God because they would tell me and you that the Bible doesn't say that Jesus Christ is God. And I said, which Bible are you reading? Let's go back to you. I mean, let's just go back in the Bible to see if he wasn't God or not. And then we don't have to argue. We don't have to discuss that. You see, God existed. We know this term that it's not even in the Bible, the Trinity. But God exists in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. That's what theologians call the Trinity. A lot of times we have no idea what that means. And we don't realize. And the Trinity is all over around us. You look at water, for instance. Water can exist in three stages, liquid, solid, and vapor, and still is H2O. Still the same essence. And so God exists in God the Father, we talked about that, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even fruit has three components. We, human beings, we got body, soul, and spirit. I mean, for God already creating things like that. So God exists in God the Father, God the Son, and God. And there, so God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So next sermon, we're going to talk about God the Spirit. But I had to bring Jesus into it because we already talked about the Father last time. Let's talk about now the Son, the one that we know as the Son of Man. He says, you are the Christ, the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. How do we know that? If you were to look back to Isaiah, where Isaiah said, a virgin will give birth to a son, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Really? And then later on, Isaiah also said, for to us a child is born, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be the name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God,
Really?
So you're telling me Jesus wasn't God? So who's the child that's going to come? His name is going to be Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of increase of the government, his reign will never end. Booyah! There it is. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And people, he's God. John, I love John. I mean, I always tell people, you want to read a book in the Bible? You want to just pick one? Get John. First one, John the Gospel. He starts like this. In the beginning was the Word. Now he's writing to a Greek audience. When you look up the word, Word means Logos. The Greeks believed that the Logos is what keeps us going in the universe. So imagine when the Greeks are reading John saying, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he said, he was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him and for him. Hold on a moment. Didn't I tell you last week that God is the creator? Well, he says that God, that we have a name for this creator right here. Go to John. John 1, 1 through 3. Verse 2 says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now go with me, verse 14. It says, the word, that Logos, became flesh. It put him human form. How? In Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And pitch his tabernacle among us. That's what the word implied. And then he says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and mercy. Now, check out verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him know. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So he's not just like, don't tell me that he was just somebody who told me how to be spiritually advanced. Don't just tell me that he was just a prophet. He was more than a prophet. Because no prophet ever in the Old Testament had this authority that Jesus Christ had. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, he's also known as the angel of the Lord. You see, every time somebody in the Old Testament had an encounter with the Lord and they saw God in the flesh, you know who they seeing? Jesus. And there's some mysterious passages in the Bible, and I just want to give you one. Abraham, one time, he's hanging out in his tent. There are three visitors. And all of a sudden, like, oh, he tells Sarah, hey, get some flour. Let's cook for these visitors. One of those visitors, he said, was the Lord. And the word there is Yahweh. I mean, how did the Lord become a man? And then that's later on, Abraham is talking to him, talking about what the Lord is going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, like, negotiating with him, like, what if there are 50 righteous? He's talking to the Lord. Then Joshua, later on in the history of Israel, he's fighting this battle. He's fighting this battle. And there's a man that he sees a man. He was kind of foggy. He's like, who? So he's about to draw his sword and say, are you with us or against us? And you know what that man told him? You better bow down and worship me. And you know no angel will ever tell you to worship him. You know who he was? Jesus. In the flesh, because people never saw God, but then he made him know in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And Jesus even told people one time, before Abraham was, Abraham is like way over, I mean, the father of the Jewish people. Before Abraham was, he told religious leaders, I am. And they got ticked because they understood that Jesus Christ was claiming to be God. They said to Jesus, hold on, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? He said, yes, Abraham saw my days and he rejoiced. It's like, this is, don't tell me that he's just a man. He's the Lord, he's God. I love the imagery in Colossians, Paul talking about Jesus. Colossians 1, 15. This is what Paul, I love this. He says, he is the image of the invisible God. You see, an image is something you see. He is the image of the invisible God. The God you cannot see, now you can see him. He's the image of the invisible God. He says, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or governors, rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. You and I don't fall apart because Jesus Christ holds you. In Him, all things are holding together because He's holding the whole universe in His hand. And then He says, so you can see that this is talking about really Jesus. Keep on reading. It says, and He is the head of the body, the church. Who did we say the head of the church is? Because if you go back to Matthew 16, He told Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So it's talking about the same individual. I mean, isn't that amazing when you see how everything makes sense in the Bible? And on this rock, and then He said, He's the head of the body, the church. And then keep on reading. He says, He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. And I love this. Another one that I love. I love 19. It says, for God was pleased to have all His fullness to dwell in Him. You know what that means? No, Jesus is not 50% man and 50% God. He's 100% man and 100% God. And it was like, well, how the total fullness of God in bodily form in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth to walk. I mean, to you and I, it would not make sense. The Creator decided to come to earth as a creation of Himself. And that those beams, the horizontal and vertical beams that, you know, for the cross, He created those, that wood. He created that too. And decided to place Himself in that. It doesn't make sense. And He did all that because He loved you and I. He is God. In Him, all things hold together. I love one of His disciples. I mean, in chapter 14 of John, Jesus is telling them that He's about to go. He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come back to get you. He said, so that where I am, you can also be. And He said to them, and you already know the way. And it's like, Thomas said, hold, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And you know what Jesus said? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Philip, one of the other apostles, said, Lord, show us the Father. And that will be enough. Like, we will not even ask you any more questions. We just want to see the Father. And then let's see what Jesus told Philip. Chapter John 14:8. I have been here all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been with among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. To know Jesus is to know God. To know Jesus is to know the Father, because they're one and the same. Jesus even said later on, pray, the Father and I are one.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So He is God. He's not just a prophet. And another thing that I find in the Bible, there's a phrase that always used about to talk about Yahweh in the Old Testament. It's called the Alpha and the Omega. And many of us probably knew in the faith, it's like, what's the Alpha and the Omega? Those are Greek letters. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last one. It is, as Jesus, God was saying, I am the A and the Z. That's what later on He says, I'm the beginning and the end. Every time you saw that expression in the Old Testament, it was always for Yahweh, God, mighty God. Jesus uses that later on in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 1. John, the writer of Revelation, saw Jesus and he fell at His feet. In Revelation chapter 1, this is what he says, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. You know, the Almighty was that Elohim, Creator, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, He says. And then, if you're in Revelation right there, just keep on going with me, verse 17 now. This is John now. John said, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead, though He placed His right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. Hold on a moment. When was God dead? Unless that God is Jesus, God has never been dead. You bring that text to the Jehovah's Witnesses, they had no idea what to do with that. Because it says, I'm the living one. I was dead. And then He says, what else? And I'm alive again. forever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. I am the, that's the title. I am the first in the Alpha and Omega, the first in the lab. I was dead. When? When he died. And I'm alive again, the resurrection. And I hold the key to death and life. Go with me in Revelation 21. Verse 6. John the writer again says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. 12 says, behold, I am coming soon. God's coming soon. That's why when we say, he said, in John chapter 15, he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place, and if I go, I will come back. So the Alpha and the Omega is the same person who says, I'm coming soon. He says, behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, check out verse 16, right there. Who does he say it is? I, Yeshua, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright morning star. You want to, so many titles about Jesus Christ right there. He was the Messiah. Messiah, the Savior of the world. He is God in the flesh. By him all things were created. Things visible and things that we cannot even see. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's why the author of Hebrews, Solomon, uses that text so much because we love it. When he says, he's the founder and perfecter of our faith. He began the whole journey of faith, and he's going to finish it. That's what he says he does. It's God that we serve. Now, who is Jesus? He's the only one by whom you and I can go to heaven. He's the only one by whom you and I can be saved. That's what Peter told people in the church when the church started in Acts chapter 4. In the book of Acts, which we're being studying on Sunday morning now, 10 o'clock. Peter gets up and he's talking to religious leaders who rejected Jesus. And in chapter 4, verse 12, he said this. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is only found in Jesus. And I love Paul's imagery when you talk about in Philippians 2 when he says that, you know, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And he says, but God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So don't tell me that he's just a little tiny weeny prophet out there. This is a ferocious God that we're serving over here, Jesus Christ. And he is our Lord and Savior. And we know that we're saved by him. Because Dante was talking about God so loved the world that he gave you. He's also known as the only begotten Son of God. So whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He holds the key to of my life. He can kill me any moment because he has the authority and power. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Yes, I have you birth, and when you die, I'm still going to be around. See, what are we going to do with this Jesus we're talking about? I mean, if he's the one by whom I need to be, if he's the one by whom you and I need to be saved, we better then give our life to him. He's the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And he said, I'll be back. He's not the Terminator we're talking about. Jesus Christ said, I'm coming back to get you. Because time's going to get worse later on. I'm going to get you out of these things happening here. So that where I am, you also can be. And what am I going to do with him? Well, I got to give my life. I had to believe in him. That he's the one who he claimed to be. And he showed it. He resurrected himself from the dead. to show us that death could not. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. It was impossible for death to grab him. If he holds the key, I mean, imagine that. It was he just, there's no way you can keep it in the grave. I mean, in fact, when Jesus Christ died, he went to where the people were. Like, he went to hell himself to deliver people from there. You and I cannot go do that, but he can. Because he holds the key. You know what you and I need to do? We need to do what Thomas, the disciple of Jesus who asked, show us the way. You know, that Thomas that we talked about, St. Thomas, you know, don't be a doubting Thomas, because he doubted. You were with Jesus for 3 years, and you believed that he already told you he was the way, but then when he died and resurrected, you did not believe that he's alive. And later on, I mean, Jesus, after resurrection, the disciples like, hey, he's alive, we see him, we ate with him. And Thomas said like, I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I trust you a lot, but I don't believe. I gotta see proof. I gotta see tangible evidence. Unless I get my fingers into the holes of the nails and touch and get my finger. I mean, man, Thomas, you crazy. You really wanna do that? Unless I gotta put my fingers into, you know, when Jesus, one of the soldiers pierced him, and the Bible said that it was blood and water. Thomas said, no, I gotta get my finger in there. And watch out what you pray for. Watch out what you ask for when God's listening. So Thomas said, unless I see that, I will not believe. So okay, the Bible says a week later, they're still in closed doors, and Jesus comes. It's like, peace be with you. He said to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then he says, hey Thomas, come here, man. And they was like, Thomas was like, why did you guys tell him that? Thomas, come here. You want a proof? Come, get your fingers in here, man. And it's like, come, put your fingers into my side and stop doubting or believe. Let me just read it to you. I gave you my paraphrase, my version. John 26, so that we get to 28. Verse 26 says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And then this is what you and I need to confess. Then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. It took all that, Thomas, for you to confess Jesus, my Lord, my God. I'm praying that you and I don't ask Jesus something that drastic. For you to say, you are my Lord and my God. Because look at what Jesus said later on. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. That's you and I. We are blessed because we have not seen Jesus. We have not even touched him, but we believe what those people wrote, that Peter wrote and James, and we believe their testimony. And Jesus said they are blessed because they did not see me, yet they believe. But the confession is there. Peter has said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen, I love Thomas's confession. He says, my Lord and my God. You know, you and I don't even have to worry about judgment day when you can say, you are my Lord and my God, because he's holding you and he's not going to let anything come to you. You know, I always tell people, times will get worse. You hear about the rapture and the tribulation. I always tell, if you're the church of Christ, you're not even going to be around, because he's going to rapture you out of here so that you don't go through that, because you are his bride and he's going to protect you. The difference for you and I, a lot of people might believe so many different things about Jesus. If you are a Christian, you need to believe that he is your Lord and your God. And if you already have made that confession in your heart, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about what life throws at you. Because just like Mandisa said, we are an overcomer. Because he already told me that I can overcome anything. And if he said it, I just got to believe it and live my life as if I'm overcoming. I'm victorious because he already conquered death, and he says that those who believe in him will not die, but see life. And even though we experience physical death, we're going right, we enjoy eternity forever, because one day he's going to come back in the clouds to take you home, to live with him forever in a world that we cannot even fathom. We can only we can only imagine. So he will take you to heaven to be with him forever because you say, you are my Lord, you are my Christ, you are my Savior. I was in need of a Savior and you came and took my place and you are my Lord and my God and we're blessed because of that. The praise team is going to come and they're going to sing the final songs. So if somebody were to ask you today, who is Jesus for you? Because Jesus is going to ask you that question. Who do you say I am? My prayer is that you can say, you are my Savior. You are my Lord and my God. And I'm so privileged that I gave you my heart and I believe in you. Because Jesus said, whoever believes in me, like the scripture says, out of you will come streams of water that will flow to eternal life. Thank God that he came to earth for you and I. To become our Savior, to become our God. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for your plan, for what you've done throughout history. You decided to put on human flesh to come down to earth yourself, to take the place that sinners should have taken. Because the Bible says that whoever sins, that person must die. Because the wages, the payment for sin is death. But you decided, I love you so much that I'm going to take your place. And all you had to do is just believe in me as a substitutionary sacrifice. And Father, we love you. We thank you that you came to earth. And we know you as Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, our God. Father, may we never take what you've done for granted. You gave us purpose. You gave us meaning to our lives. And Lord, as we continue our lives, may we continue knowing really who you are, because there's so many different ideas and misrepresentations of who you are out there. But we need to go back to the book that you already orchestrated to really have a better picture of who you are. The Son of Man, the Logos, the first and the last. And yes, you have so many titles that we cannot even imagine. But the most important thing, Lord, is that we have made you our Lord and our God. And Lord, if there's anybody here today who do not know you in those terms, I pray that they do not go home. They don't spend another second of their life without you. Because we cannot overcome on our own. It's only by you, Lord, that we can be really overcomers in the midst of trials and tribulation. That we can stand still when the whole world around us is falling apart. Because you said that you will give us that peace that transcends our human understanding. Lord, thank you, because when we know you like that, we are confident. We have hope. When we know you like that, just like Chris Tomlin said, we don't have to fear. Whom shall I fear, he said. Because I know who goes before me. I know who goes behind me. The God of armies is going by my side. Lord, thank you that you promised to always go by our side. You say, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And we're so privileged to be in this world, knowing that we have a God like you. Nebuchadnezzar said, no God saves like Yahweh. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.